Welcome to the Murphy, Sam and Jody After the Show podcast. And Janine had sent us an email. She is a preschool teacher, right? And she teaches special ed, I think, is what
middle
she said?
School special ed teacher.
Middle school special ed. And she was just talking about how...
her brain switches all day.
Her brain switches all day. But she's talking about she originally thought that she was worn out just because making decisions, which I guess this is kind of related to that. But she realized that it was the attention to things changing all day long.
Right.
It's the mental energy that actually,
your brain switching. You're doing one thing for one kid, then another one comes in and asks you something, and then you got a bell ringing and you're trying to correct a math lesson. And she was saying that she realized her brain switches all day long.
Yeah. And I think most people's do. And that's why when she was talking about that, it made me realize something that I have been working on, and I'm not mastered it, but I'm going after it, is to make sure that I'm really cognizant about when my mind switches, changes, or not to try to do too many things at once anymore. Because we know it's so weird to me. You've got all this science that shows the brain can only do one thing at a time. There's no disputing that. You can switch fast. Some people may be able to switch a lot faster than others, but the brain can literally only do one thing at a time. But we're in a time and age where all the tools and everything around us, and even especially in the U.S., society encourages us to do as much as possible. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And multiple things at one time. And I even think in the workforce that's kind of the case,
Yes.
And but I do think that it starts to take its mental toll.
It does.
And depleted energy and all of that. And I just recently started working out again, which has really helped me on the energy side of things. But I realized, I'm still not. What is going on here? I'm completely exhausted by the end of the day. Mm. What's going on? And it's because the amount of information that I process, which I tend to treat, like a lot of people do, equally as it comes through. What do I do with this? And sometimes you take on something that's a priority that really shouldn't be a priority. You know what I mean? And it's just...
It
cracks me up.
I'm giggling because how intimately we know you, Murphy. And I know you more intimately than Sam does. And I can tell you a little story. This happened last night. This is Murphy. Okay, so for instance... when we're having a conversation at the dinner table, we're talking about whatever, what we're going to do this week or what's going on with Phoebe. I can continue that conversation with you, walk into the kitchen and get a fork and come back. I'm not saying that I'm special. I'm saying my mind switches quickly because at some point I knew to reach in and get the fork, even though I'm still having a conversation with you about Phoebe. But this happened last night. We were having dinner. You got up to get something in the kitchen and we were having a conversation and you got into the kitchen and you were like, wait, I don't know why I'm in here, because you were still in the conversation with me.
Mm-hmm.
So
have done that so many times.
Right. So some of us are switching in our minds effectively. I'm still switching effectively. I know from the time I became a mother, I was switching constantly in my brain. Like I could be driving and talking to the girls and thinking about what I'm making for dinner, and I know that they have this due tomorrow morning, and this one needs cupcakes at her class, and blah, blah, blah. And I know that's not that's a mom superpower, but it's a lot of switching, mind switching.
Totally.
As I, get older, I probably won't be as good at it.
Well, the thing is, it's still switching. Mm-hmm. So in that moment where you have shifted your focus to what it is you're doing next, you're not hearing what the other person's saying.
Right.
If you're sitting together at the table, the business of eating and all of those things, all of that's muscle memory. You learned how to do all of that as a child. Your brain said, okay, great. I don't need this to be in the forefront anymore. It goes to the back where it's sort of automatic, which is why if you're in a really good conversation before you know it, you're finished eating. And maybe you did or didn't enjoy the meal. I don't know. But
that's a good point.
But I know people like, I can absolutely do it. It is impossible to do two things at one time. That's why, for example, now I'm trying to think of where we were recently. So I can't remember things.
Here's the thing. Okay. Is that aging us, though, too?
Switching constantly? Probably. The society we live in? Probably.
Is it shortening your lifespan or just aging you? Or physically affecting you permanently?
I guess it depends. If it creates stress, then it probably has, some sort of a longevity impact. But No, we were, where were we recently where we were listening to someone speak to us? We were in an audience.
What are you talking
about?
You
went to John Mellencamp.
No.
You're talking about the three of us?
I'm talking about this past weekend.
Oh, we were.
We were at an orientation. That's what it was.
Phoebe was doing a session about being undecided for her college major.
Yeah, okay. God bless. So.
It was awesome.
Yeah, and it really, yeah, the session itself was great. But there were a few moments where you leaned over to mention something to me, and I can't, I cannot switch, nor do I want to in that environment. Because if I'm paying attention to someone speaking, I am captive of what they're saying, I'm giving them the respect of that, and quite frankly, I need to focus. Mm-hmm. Because if I turn to you for one question or something like that, the one sentence that they say, I'm not going to hear.
Yeah.
Nor is anyone. You know, that's the funny part. There is not a soul on the planet that can tell you that they can have a conversation with the person sitting right next to them and listen to what somebody up on stage is saying. It is physically, scientifically proven impossible. And so, but the reason I say that is I am so susceptible to that.
You are.
Have to catch myself because I am Mr. Bright Shiny. Throw it in front of me and I'm on another path.
We used to have a coworker here that did that during important meetings.
Bright Shiny objects?
The interruption to make a quip. You know, it was always to make a quip or a funny observation. And it would just completely throw, Murphy's right, completely throw you off because it's like, huh? And it's not that I really wanted to hear what he had to say, but it was just like that interruption. It's like,
right.
Wait.
Right.
Now
right.
I've missed it.
Right. Right. Exactly. Well, you know, and another reason that's why, I mean, when people are sitting at the table, it goes beyond the rude part. If everybody is really trying to, if everybody's there and they don't want their time wasted at the table, you know, and I'm talking about a business setting.
You're not talking about at home.
And there's, right, and there's a conversation that's going on. It's simply rude because of that factor that you just mentioned there, Sam, right? You know, I mean, so the distraction happens in the room or the person that wants to poke into, you know, and I know exactly who you're talking about.
I don't know
why he couldn't help himself.
Former employee.
But okay. He, super nice guy, but always literally one of those that had to turn to the person sitting next to them and interject something. Mm. And so... But anyway, back to what I was saying.
Sorry, I threw Murphy off.
But what I'm getting to, because when Janine sent us the email, it really made me think and realize I need to stop trying to do 40 things on a list every day. I'm exaggerating a little bit. There are 40 things that could be done, but that's not logical. But I still wind up putting 12 to 15 things every day that I know I'm not supposed to give equal priority to, and I know that they probably can't be done, nor do they have to be done before the end of the day. I need to become better at understanding, okay, these are the things that absolutely are the most important. I'm going to shut out absolutely everything else, and I'm going to get it done.
See, that is much harder said than done, though.
It is.
Uh-huh. Because it happens all the time around here, where you get on a task, and, I can do that in 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. And you go over, and, oh, wait, this is taking a little longer. And then by the time you do three things,
like, what were you doing?
What was the first thing I was doing?
Right.
Right.
And so it just seems a little mentally taxing, too, what you're trying to say. Like, I've got to get myself to focus. Well, that's going to tax you as well.
Yeah.
To say ignore.
Yeah, right. It's, you know, I've got to think that, like, somebody probably the most stressful task switching job, or at least before technology really evolved to where it is, it's got to be an air traffic controller,
which
right?
They're hiring right now too.
Oh,
by
are
the
they
way. Yeah. I saw a TikTok on that the other day.
Okay.
Apparently,
and I thought no, I'll stay where I am.
That's interesting. So they're using a social media with a 3-second attention span.
Yes!
To get some
If you can
people.
Follow this, we want you.
But, it's a good thing they have technology to help.
But that is a job, you know, that you're having to switch back and forth. But maybe it's things that are just so different from each other that's the thing. If you're at least if you have something that is, you know, similar. And I guess the example would be, you know, while we're sitting here in the studio doing what we do every day, there are a million things that are going on behind the scenes, usually in the back of our own heads, right? You know, how are things being, you know, produced, and where's the mic, and the blah, blah. There's a lot that goes on at one time, right?
Yes. It's a lot more than what it sounds like.
Correct. And so things that are similar make sense. It's when you start talking about all the other things that you want to accomplish since you only have 24 hours in a day.
Yeah.
I want to be able to do work. I want to be able to be a good dad. I want to be a good husband to Jody. I want to have, you know, time with my friends. You start to make that list, mm-hmm. and it gets pretty long. My list, though, tends to wind up being all of the bright, shiny stuff Janine's talking about and the stuff you're talking about, Sam, that crops up during the course of a work
being
day.
Being reactive all day.
Exactly, right.
And you don't, at the end of the day, you've been busy all day, but you don't feel accomplished if you're only reacting. That's why they say, you know, and schedule time to work on the things that you need to work on. But one of the tricks there, and here's, I'll raise my hand as the poster child for this, Murphy, do it when you are at your best.
Yes.
We all have a peak brain time in the daytime. And I know when mine is. It's early. You know me on the weekend mornings. Murphy gets, he sleeps a little bit on the weekends, and I don't. I get up early, and I have done 10 things around the house by the time he gets up. Mm-hmm. And it's great because that's when I'm most, I can think of everything that needs to be done, and I have the energy to do it like a little bunny all over the house.
Yeah.
And I crash by 3 and 4 p.m. like a nerd. But
in the mornings, it's like, so today we need to do this and this and this and this and this and this. And I'm like,
what?
Wow, that's impressive, but I'm going to need you to repeat all of those.
I know. I've learned not to. You understand, when you get up, sometimes I've been up already for a couple of hours.
But you're right, though.
And I've got all this. But you need to schedule, no matter what you're like. If your peak hours are in the afternoon, when you know that you are the strongest mentally, is when you need to work on. And just be honest with yourself. That might not fit into even your employer's schedule.
Yeah.
You need to work when you're at your peak.
Yeah.
I find that when it starts to get too much for me, I have to leave and go home and work. Because
A change of scenery.
Change of scenery is huge.
But to me, mentally at home, I'm not being interrupted. Even though I could be on a text or a fax or a call.
Yeah.
I don't have somebody walking up to me and saying, hey, did you do this yet? Or can we look for that? And you got to stop and give them a little attention. I find, like, if my list starts to build, shut it down, go home, and then I can go boom, 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 boom.
I'm a big believer in change of scenery just to improve your work.
Mm-hmm.
Change of scenery, you should do it just for your own brain. It's like watering your brain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a big believer. I always tell Murphy, you've got this long, hard day, and he's all stressed. I'm like, go to a coffee shop and work.
Yeah.
Ding.
Well, and you know, the kind of thing, especially since the pandemic, when Janine talks about the kind of interruptions that she has during preschool throughout the day.
Middle school.
I'm sorry, middle school. Preschool probably is
similar,
even more intense, right?
I'm
sorry. Yes, middle school. In the post-pandemic world, where there's so much that's being done on Teams and Zoom and Skype, and I know I've got a couple of coworkers that, because they're 100% remote work in what they do, and because Teams or any of those instant chats are just like somebody walking. Actually, theoretically, it could be worse than somebody walking into the room, because there's no visual cue to say this person's busy.
Mm-hmm.
There's the little red dot that may say that they're scheduled and busy, but because they, you know, anybody who's in that setting is hit up constantly by instant video chats and instant messages and other things like that, that really are very tiring by the time you get to the end of the day.
Right.
And you kind of have to get up and walk away from it.
Speaking of that, like the Zooms and Teams where you have chats going on in the video.
Oh, you can't
pay attention. You intentionally have two things going on at once.
Yes.
You can't do that.
When somebody chats you, hey, da 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 da, it's like, whoa, 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 whoa.
Yeah.
I'm
focused
listening.
On this. Can that wait?
Right.
Right.
Whew. Yeah, exactly.
There needs to be a Zen sort of Zoom.
Well, and you know,
there you go.
Sam, what you just described is really what I'm wondering, you know, for the future, as more things are accessible to us, which then makes us think that we can do everything, need everything at once, the things that are fed to us, you know, we almost feel obligated to consume every single bit of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, pacing ourselves and really understanding what the priority focus needs to be is going to be the survival skill of the future.
It's true.
And I'm trying to learn it right now.
Work at your peak, but rest your mind at your lulls. And that means whatever you need it to be.
Right, exactly.
Laying on a sofa watching a cartoon. It doesn't, or taking an actual nap or taking a walk. But during your lulls, don't expect so much of yourself. In other words, don't feel bad about your lulls. Don't think, man, I'm just such a loser.
Right.
No, you're not. You are just recharging your brain.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So we done? Can I go focus on something else?
Yeah.
Missed any part of the show? Get it all on the Murphy, Sam, and Jody podcast.